Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, today with Layla Mutin, who is our nutritionist in residence, and we are sharing the same physical space. It's no longer a virtual conversation. It's a milestone. We haven't seen each other except via Skype.
Yeah.
For months on end. And you know, you look better in person than you do on Skype.
Is likewise.
Is that you got to get a better camera for your computer?
Because maybe
it's got like a fisheye lens, and it's like, you know,
it's not great, right?
Right. It's like invest in a little, you know, hardware for your. Like a peripheral for your computer.
Or I got more of a tan the last time you saw me on Skype.
I devised this thing where when I'm on Skype or on Zoom, is like I picked a background. I took a picture of this beautiful like lake in Central Park.
Oh.
And it's like a beautiful spring day. And so I'm like situated there and I could be in my apartment, with like a big, disarray behind me.
Uh-huh.
And instead it's like the newscasters, you see like,
sure.
Oh, you
that
see
that like, green screen that you can put anything on.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of a cool thing, so it's like.
Pretty cool. Oh gosh. So Dr. Hoffman, we have an email from Michael. Why is my overall body temperature measured to be about 94 degrees Fahrenheit? Other than that of a slow thyroid condition, yet I feel pretty good overall for a 65-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How did you take your temperature, Michael? That's the first thing I want to know. Was it one of these point and shoot?
Yeah, they're not terribly accurate. They can pick you up when you have a fever, but they don't really speak to your. What we used to think is that the real accurate thermometers were the basal body temperature thermometers where, you used to use basal body temperature thermometers for using the rhythm method, that these slight fluctuations in, if you wanted to do natural contraception, you would see like slight fluctuations. You have to like be very careful. You have to map it out. It's kind of a pain. And then it's not entirely effective.
That's true. Full disclosure, I'm a product of that family planning method.
I see.
I would be a few years younger than I am right now, in fact.
Okay.
According to my mother. So.
What do you mean a few years?
I would be younger. I would not have happened when I did. They would have waited a few more years before they had a child.
You were somewhat unplanned.
Exactly.
Unplanned.
Okay. The family planning
Would you
method.
Have like older siblings?
No.
Oh, you were the first.
I was the first.
So they were going to defer.
Right. They were going to defer.
They weren't quite ready.
No. Okay. No, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
But here I am.
Okay. Well, so the point being is that
yes.
The other thing about body temperatures, these are 98.6. Mm-hmm. 98.6. That's where we live. 98.6 is body temperature. Well, it turns out that body temperature, it varies a lot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily signal pathological conditions.
Right.
We used to slavishly check body temperature as an indication of whether people needed thyroid medication.
Yeah.
It can be an indication of need for thyroid medication, but can be an indication of just idiosyncratic body temperature and or other conditions. Mm. In Chinese medicine, there's a whole lot of excess heat conditions and excess cold conditions.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, right.
I remember a popular method of taking your temperature was under your arm.
Well, what I had, I got to say, as a child, it was always rectal.
You know,
oh, sure,
which
sure.
is a truly internal temperature.
That is know? The, yeah. I, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But under the arm for those people who were questioning their thyroid function.
Right, yeah.
Was to do that first thing in the morning, take your temperature under your arm. Why under your arm and not, why not under your tongue? I always wondered.
Yeah.
But 94 degrees, Michael, I question so if your thermometer works.
Doesn't, right, exactly. And there's another, and the electronic thermometers, I'm not sure how bloody accurate they are, but they right. don't like to use mercury thermometers because they break and mercury is very toxic.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Here's the other thing is there was an article recently about how it's pretty clear that human body temperatures mm-hmm. have declined over the past few decades or a generation, that
really?
Average human body temperatures used to be higher than they are now. And what that represents is unclear. Are we less metabolically fit? Are we less, thermodynamically efficient? You know, it's kind of like, oh, your furnace isn't, you know, as efficient anymore.
Hmm.
You know?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I know...
They made a look... There was one of the stories, like, gee whiz science stories that made the rounds lately.
I've got to
Because they did a study, and they, you know, and they actually compiled average temperatures, and they found that average temperatures are lower now than they once were.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I know that after we eat, just from digestion, our temperature will go up.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will even say that they feel warmer.
Yeah.
After eating, it could be that you just drank a hot liquid or had a bowl of soup or something like that. That too. But that's interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, you know, I also suspect that people with adrenal problems have lower temperature.
Mm-hmm. But 94 degrees is quite low. Michael, I would first question the type of thermometer you're working or using or whether it's working at all or...
Yeah.
You know. Some practitioners back in the day would say get a fertility thermometer. Don't use a digital thermometer because mm-hmm. they're not as accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's changed, if digital thermometers have gotten better.
I think it's the same as what's called a basal body temperature thermometer, which is much more accurate. But, you know, I don't know.
Okay. Thank you for that question, Michael. All right. Let's see here. We've got one from Ron. Hi, oh, Dr. Hoffman.
This is a good point at which to pause.
Oh, okay.
And let's allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with
okay.
us. Listen up.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements, surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule, verified by rigorous independent testing. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/biotics research. That's drhoffman.com/biotics research for Biomega Fish Oil.
Thanks for listening and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make Intelligent Medicine a continuing free resource to you. And that is, I think, a great service. So what's
yes.
our next question?
Okay. This comes from Ron. Hi, Dr. Hoffman. As I was wondering what the people's choice has been over the years for stomach upset or indigestion. What did or what do people generally do for a remedy? What I did was use Maalox, baking soda, or loads of cold water in the past. Presently, I would use apple cider vinegar or a lot of water. What is the go-to remedy then for stomach upset or indigestion?
Well, you know, what I would propose is that we got to look into the underlying cause of that. Now, it's nice to self-diagnose and self-treat, but if you have persistent stomach discomfort, that doesn't respond to, you know, these simple measures or over the counters, get checked out.
Right. Right.
You know, get checked out. And, you know, then if it just turns out to be ordinary dyspepsia, you know, there's no ulcer or there's no, you know, serious underlying problem,
mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you have a wide range of options. And in fact, you know, I wrote an entire book, 7 Weeks to a Settled Stomach, about that.
I guess it was back
in 96 or 99. That book is still in print. You can get it off usually find it in mm-hmm. an old bookstore for about 35 cents.
Mm-hmm.
The remainder, if they're called remainders.
Right.
Are there still bookstores? I know, right?
Oh my gosh, yeah. It depends on the source of the indigestion. If it's a matter of low stomach acid, apple cider vinegar may work, mm-hmm. diluted with some water. If it's feeling like too much acid or a sour stomach, taking water can help to dilute that. Certainly baking soda or something.
There's an interesting study, and I recall it from, mm-hmm. That was done in Turkey.
Hmm.
Which showed, these were individuals had documented ulcers, and it was done in a prison in mm-hmm. Turkey by a doctor who was imprisoned. He was a political prisoner, and he said, well, they're not giving us any medicine, and there's nothing we can do.
Wait, was this Midnight Express, the movie?
It sounds like Midnight Express. Yes, it does, doesn't it? I was thinking
right,
Midnight Express.
Right.
It was an amazing movie. Fortunately, I saw that movie after I was in Turkey.
Oh, good. Otherwise, you wouldn't want to go.
Right.
Hey, it was filmed in Malta, I believe.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Because
anyway.
I think the Turkish government wouldn't have found it very complimentary.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the doctor fed his patients mm-hmm. lots of water and then wrote a scientific paper that documented the efficacy of water in the treatment of ulcers and gastritis.
Huh.
So, for what it's worth, we can also use things like DGL, deglycyrrhizinated licorice.
Yes.
We also like Endofen. What's an Endofen?
Endofen, which
has marshmallow, DGL, and
exactly.
cinnamon.
And apple powder. And
apple pectin.
Maybe some slippery elm.
Which is a wonderful combination.
Yeah.
Helps a lot of our patients with GERD.
Yeah.
But we'd like to know what we're treating. God forbid, it could be a sign of a gastrointestinal cancer, esophageal or stomach
cancer. Or it could be that Ron keeps eating that very spicy chili dog that he probably shouldn't have and downing it with a root beer or something. I don't know.
Too much sugar, too many fermentable carbohydrates. He mm-hmm. could have SIBO, some kind of... He's not being very specific. He's just saying he's having stomach discomfort.
Right.
Sometimes digestive... bitters can be helpful.
Digestive enzymes.
Digestive enzymes
are very
can be helpful. But bitters, I like, if I get a little stomach distress, I'll take some Angostura bitters in water.
Mm-hmm.
Lukewarm
water. It's
good for
stirring up appetite, too.
Mm-hmm. Also, right, it helps with production of digestive enzymes
mm-hmm.
And stimulates peristalsis. So,
we
don't know what this is, really. And I don't want to be elusive, but I just actually read another article in a medical textbook. I don't know if people want to pay $300 to buy a medical textbook to hear what I have to say about it. It's more for health professionals. But I wrote about, digestive remedies and,
mm-hmm.
Covering some of the mm-hmm. same ground we're covering now.
Okay. Thank you for that very thoughtful question.
Probiotics sometimes can be.
Probiotics are helpful, certainly.
Yeah.
We've got an email from Lori. I've been taking Nexium 40 milligrams.
We're still talking about GI.
Yeah, for 2 months now, and I want to begin the weaning process.
Very, very tough to wean because you get hooked on Nexium, and when you stop, you get what's called rebound hyperacidity, which makes you think you really need the Nexium.
Yeah.
It's not clear whether the problem that the Nexium was designed to alleviate has... not subsided and you still really need it, or whether you're experiencing the rebound.
Right.
So in a sense, those medications are the ideal. I mean, they are, from the standpoint of the pusher, in your local neighborhood pusher, they are equivalent in their ability to enlist a lifetime of use.
We're only supposed to be taking that for not more than 6 weeks.
That's what you look at the labels,
that's
what it says.
That's what it says.
But then doctors misapply that. They say
you need to take it for life. You have acid reflux.
Yep.
Right.
So, and then patients try to stop, where they run out, and then they experience discomfort. So they think, oh, you know, I really need to be on it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So it's tough to wean. What I suggest is a very slow process by which you take it 2 days out of three.
Yeah.
And then for a month.
Yeah.
And just 2 days out of three. Then every other day. And then 1 day out of three.
Mm.
Meanwhile, you can, if you really need to, on the days you're not taking it, you can take a less addictive medication like Pepcid.
Mm.
Zantac, by the way, there was a product recall where there was some carcinogenic material
yes.
in Zantac.
Right.
So I think Zantac is, there's still Zantac over the counter that's safely on the market. But you can also do these other things, the diet change.
Yes.
The Endofen, the DGL.
Make sure you're on a GERD diet, but start taking the DGL now, even while you're taking Nexium.
Right.
And start replacing the Nexium
right.
with the DGL where you can.
Right.
I think that's helpful.
Yep.
And you need to follow a GERD
and
diet.
DGL does something different than Nexium. It's not an antacid, it's an anti-inflammatory.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing in, you know, when you use those medications, is they stop the acid production, but they're not anti-inflammatory. And DGL is anti-inflammatory, as is Endofen, a nice
yes.
combination of demulcent ingredients
yeah.
and healing ingredients. Because if there's inflammation on the surface, you want to, you
right.
know, address that.
Laura, you want to go on a GERD diet, which involves eliminating foods that may be exacerbating your symptoms, tomato products, acidy foods, and beverages like coffee.
But also going on a low-carb diet.
Citrus, a low-carb diet will help, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that, you know, I was really surprised to hear that, because at the time I was sort of, you know, I must admit, I questioned Atkins, and I was kind of a quasi-vegetarian. And he actually published a paper talking about how when he was treating people for diabetes, he put them on a very low-carb diet. And oh, by the way, their gastrointestinal symptoms abated.
Yes.
Because they had much less fermentable carbohydrates.
Right, right. And lo and behold, the day they would cheat and eat a sandwich.
They get heartburn
immediately.
Yeah.
Like it would come roaring back.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
We saw that over and over
yeah.
again.
Yeah.
Really.
So it was a serendipitous finding of, you know, his cardiovascular intervention for these patients.
Yeah. Yeah. Lori, thank you for that question. We hope you feel better soon. Get some DGL. At least get started.
All yeah, right. And the way to take DGL, some people say, well, I took a DGL, didn't help. You take a lot of DGL. You
yeah.
just like, you know, it's inexpensive.
Six to 10 a day.
6 to 10, just suck on them all the time. Like
right.
people suck on
candy, hard candy.
Candy, but they're usually made in low calorie versions. So find one that's not made with a lot of sucrose. It'll have fructose as an ingredient, but a tiny amount of fructose.
Right.
But mostly right. it is, licorice is intrinsically a sweet tasting thing.
Right.
And so
yeah.
you'll get some sweetness from the licorice itself. Sometimes they put in a little extra stevia, which
mm-hmm.
doesn't hurt, you know.
And for those who are saying, but wait, I have high blood pressure, this is deglycerizated licorice.
Say it again.
Deglycerizated.
Deglycerizinated.
Deglycerizinated. Meaning the what would adversely impact your blood pressure
yeah.
has been removed.
Glycyrrhizin is the substance in licorice.
Glycyrrhizic acid.
Yeah, glycyrrhizic acid
okay.
or glycyrrhizin.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got a lot of syllables and it's got some Y's in it and two R's and an H and it's like very crazy
oh,
spelling.
Oh no.
Yeah. So just call it DGL.
DGL.
Yeah,
that's
right.
it.
Right.
There we go.
Okay. So we won't revoke your master's degree in nutrition.
Oh, no. Because
you know,
I can't pronounce
right.
it. Oh, my goodness.
It's deglycerizinated.
Deglycerizinated.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Look, I don't want to be pedantic about it, but I am pedantic.
That's okay. That's okay.
Hey, listen, I have to amortize my investment in all those years of medical school.
There you
it's
go.
Like, right?
Right, right.
It's like, you know, I paid big bucks, so I got to rock it.
We have an email from Joe. Hi, guys. Big fan of all you do. Thank you. Thank you for listening, Joe. I recently read about a protocol using candibactin to combat SIBO.
Okay, let's stop. What is candibactin?
Yeah.
Well, we talk a little bit about SIBO, but candibactin is kind of interesting name because it says candida in it and bacteria in it. So
yeah.
It's a non-specific botanical that suppresses the growth of yeast and harmful bacteria. Mm-hmm. There's two types of candibactin. There's AR and BR. It's mm-hmm. a popular thing for treating SIBO, which is yeah. small intestine bacterial overgrowth. It gets rid of fungal overgrowth, but it also suppresses bacteria. The AR contained, it's aromatic, which stands for, I think it's got some rosemary in it, but it mostly has oregano in it.
Yes, oregano, it's got some thyme, it's got some other.
Yeah, thyme oil. All mm-hmm. these essential oils yes. are antibacterial, very powerful antibacterial. Yeah. The other one is BR, and the B sort of stands for berberine. Mm-hmm. And berberine is not an essential oil, it's generally in powder form.
Yes.
But it's a pretty potent antibacterial,
it
too.
Is. Yeah.
And so what we generally do is start patients on a little bit of that, one, then the other, to see how it's tolerated, because if you have yeah. stomach pain and you're irritated, you know, you got to be careful with that. Then we ramp up the dose until they're taking two of each of them
yes.
twice daily. So that's 8 pills a day. 2 times 2 of the AR, 2 times 2 of the BR. That helps sometimes to pretty effectively eradicate SIBO.
Right, right.
It's available on full script.
Yes.
You can buy it on full if you want to experiment yourself on it, but it's better to get some guidance to see if you really have SIBO, because some people have pain and discomfort, it's not SIBO.
Right.
You can do a breath test to see if you have SIBO. We do that
right,
routinely.
Right.
So anyway, so what
Joe is asking, do you
during
think
COVID-19?
Yeah, do you think it's safe to start this protocol with COVID going around?
I'm not sure what he's thinking.
He lives in New York, and he actually works in hospitals. He's never been tested for COVID. He's 44.
So the question is,
and he's healthy otherwise.
What could go wrong with those herbs? What's he thinking? Is that those herbs somehow stimulate immunity and that they could be bad? I don't know. What do you think?
Because
thinking?
All there is COVID.
Right.
And that's all.
So the answer is, no, it could, I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
And in fact, some of those herbs may be beneficial. There is some bona fides to thyme and oregano.
Totally. And rosemary and so forth.
Right?
Yeah.
Rosmarinic
very
acid.
Beneficial.
There's actually some clinical articles on how that might be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Joe, get tested first to see if you actually have
right.
SIBO, if it's something
and
else.
And the berberine, I don't think, is yeah. you know, plus or minus on
no.
that.
No, no.
But, so. Yeah, you know, I just sometimes, I think he's thinking of something there. He's thinking like, well, we've heard that some herbs may not be good to take during this, you know, but I'm not sure what he's going after.
Yeah, that should be fine.
No contraindication.
No contraindication, Joe.
Yep.
And, so get checked out first. That would be your best bet.
Yeah. Okay. Find out if indeed you have. So that's all the time we have.
Wow.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yep.
As usual.
Okay. So please continue to send questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. And questions can relate, of course, to, you know, the clear and present challenge of COVID-19. But also questions of a general nature are finding their way back into our mailbox. And we're very happy to see that because things are normalizing and we're back in the office seeing patients where once we feared to tread.
Right. And we're very happy to see you, by the way.
Yep.
So, yeah.
We were lonely.
Yeah.
We missed our patients.
Yeah.
Come on back.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.